his plans. Let your spirit be present. Let everyone has ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Authority is one of the most powerful things in the universe. And our book gonna begin on, well, when you get your books, the first chapter that we're going to try to cover some of it today is understanding authority. And let me get to it. And that God's throne is established on authority. God's throne is established on authority. And when we speak that term, when you speak of God's term, when we speak of the term of God's throne, we're talking about where God's seated position is and his position, his seated position and his position. The throne is seated on authority because that's who God is. God is authority. With that being said, we need to define what authority is, all right? Now, this is a simple definition of authority. The power or right to give orders, make decisions, and thirdly, enforce obedience. Authority. The power of right to give orders, make decisions, and to enforce obedience. Make decisions. What else I said? Give orders and enforce obedience. So why are those things so important? And why is it so important that we function under authority and that we understand what authority is? Why is it so important? Because everything that God stands for is about authority. And for God to get his plan and purpose out, it has to be done under authority. And under authority means under God's divine will. God's divine will demands authority. And that's another word I'm going to tell you, obedience. Authority, obedience, and here's another word you want to keep in mind because you're going to hear it a lot in this class. Authority, obedience, and here's another word, submission. And you would think obedience and submission is the same thing, but they live in two different worlds. You can fake obedience, but you can't fake submission. Why? Obedience is an action. Submission is a matter of the heart. You submit it in your heart, and then you're obedient in your actions. And so that's why we got to be careful, and this class is going to learn, going to teach us, going to help us to understand why it's so important that your action or have to follow your heart. If not, it may be done in what we call in the spirit of rebellion. Oh, that word rebellion, nobody likes it. It's a word that people try to shy away from, rebellion. It sounds like you're a real bad person, rebellion. It sounds like you're anti-God or anti-doing the will of God. But when you understand the principle of rebellion, where it began, and how it functioned in this earth realm, then you're going to appreciate obedience. You can't appreciate one without understanding the other. And somebody might say, I'm not a rebellious person. Okay, we'll see. And matter of fact, most people don't like to call their children rebellious. They get upset, totally upset. My child not rebellious. I can show you 10 ways your child is rebellious. And so we must understand it. And once you understand something, you can deal with it. I had no idea how rebellious I was. Now I may have looked submissive, may have looked like I was doing things in obedience, but my heart was grumbling on the inside. Why I got to do this? But yet I'm doing it. You see, your thoughts govern how you function. And then if you don't understand it, you can be rebellious. And whenever you're rebellious, the will of God cannot be done in your life to glorify God. 7th chapter of Matthew. Lord, we prophesy in thy name. You may have read it. Have done many wonderful works in thy name. Then Jesus said, I never knew you. How can you do all those things in the name of the Lord? And then he said, he didn't say, I don't know you. I never knew you. Because you can do things in the name of Jesus and your heart is not right towards it. You're doing with different motives and your own objective. The body of Christ functioning out all the time. They do it for notoriety. They do it for popularity. They do it to be heard and to be seen. And so when you do it under that spirit, it seems like the will of God being done, but not to the level that God wants it done. Now, without further ado, let's get into the book. There are some foundation scriptures I must go over and we must read, because these scriptures here are going to plainly show us exactly what are we going to do with this lesson. Go to Romans 13, please. Romans chapter 13. And this chapter here is really going to help us to understand. Now, remember, the whole purpose of the lesson of authority and submission is that God will be done in the earth realm. And anytime God wants his will done, God has to use a man, a human being, someone to connect heaven to earth. And the only way that will could be done is when he has proper submission to those that God has put under him. And so why this lesson is so fundamental is that the Bible it looks at us as though we're an army, and any military people here, anybody ever went? Okay, if you're a military, you know the function of an army. There's authority, there's ranks, and you have to function within that authority and in that position. And you don't cross rank in the army. And so there have to be someone as a captain over us, someone that it may seem like they're lording over us, but at the same time, I heard one man say, he was a drill sergeant. He said, the reason I'm so rough and the reason I'm so tough when I'm training my people is that, so if somebody get their head shot off, I don't want to be my fault. He said, I won't be able to save your life. And same thing with a spiritual leader. Sometimes it might seem rough. Sometimes it might seem like they don't like you. Sometimes it might seem as though they're against you, but they're trying to save your life, trying to put you in the will of God. So Satan won't be able to come against you and function, and won't be able to function properly. It's so important that we understand authority. Now, Romans 13, you got 13 and 1 yet? Romans 13 and 1. It said, let every soul be subject. That word subject. Submitted. Unto the higher powers. This word powers can be better translated as authority. If you look in the Greek manuscript, You just worship as authority. Let every soul be subject unto the higher authorities. Higher authorities. Look what else it says. For there is no authority. We can use that word authority right here. For there is no authority but of who? But of God. God is the only authority. Everything that comes beyond God is only a delegation of that authority. God, the authority, everything become a delegation. All the apostles, all the prophets, all the fivefold ministry, all delegation of God's authority. God delegated his will to them, And their job is to carry God's will out. Delegate. Everybody say delegate authority. Now, okay. The power that be or what? Ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted. See, that's a resisted. It's a rebellious word. Because resist means to go against. Whosoever therefore resisted what? The authority resisted the, am I right? The ordinance of God. Is that what it says? Whosoever therefore resisted the authority, resisted the ordinance of God. Now remember, there are two kinds of authority. One is this earthly authority, which governs the rule. We will say earthly government would be our people in authority as policemen, our own forces, political side of government. They are earthly authorities. Like when Pilate questioned Jesus, that was the governmental part of authority. But when the high priest questioned Jesus, see, that was two authorities at hand. When the high priest questioned Jesus, it became the spiritual side of government. And we're going to go into that lesson down the road, but there's two types of authority we have to obey. But the Bible says that all authority belong to God, even the what we call the civil authorities. They're under his authority. I'm getting to the red light. You know you got a red light right there on 44 and 22 when you leave the church. I get to the red light, and the light is red. Ain't one car coming. Look to the north, south, east. I'm just standing there. I feel like a fool. I said, this don't make any sense. I can't move because of a dumb red light holding me here. I'm being held here by a light and nobody coming. Now, it all seemed fine and dandy. I mean, I could have ran the light, but then I would have had a conscience problem if I'm a Christian. I mean, why? Because I'm breaking one of the God, notice how I'm saying it, I'm breaking a God-ordained law that God stand behind. God stand behind civil government. When you break one of the man laws, we call it man law, but God stand behind the judicial system. God stand behind all the laws of the earth because they all originated with him. And so when I break one of those laws, I break God's law too. When it comes to your taxes, you see, you know, some Christians like to cheat on their taxes, but it's not right because you're coming again. Render to Caesar, that which is Caesar, but to God, the thing that are God. He said, give Caesar what belongs to him. He has a right to it. It's in the law. So those civil authorities we have to obey. And the other side, the coin, is the spiritual authority. Christian has to obey both. If we're to function like God wants to function, we live in two worlds and we have to obey two both worlds. Heavy hang over our head as Christian. We have to live. It will live in a way that pleases God in everything. You can't live holy in the church, but live like a crook in the civil world. You got to live above standards. And God holds us true to all these things. Now, why is this? Why this? I'm going to go back to the first verse. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. High authority. All authority belongs to God. And so you can't separate the judicial system from the spiritual system. All authority belongs to God. And I had to catch a hold of that. I had to understand that God wants me to respect everything. Well, Watchman Nee, in the book you're about to get, he make a statement. He said, whenever you go anywhere, find out who in authority that you may obey, that you may submit. You see? Some people don't like submitting to supervisors on their job, you know, and then we rebel by doing what we want to do and not what they say do. And we have, and the world system has no respect for authority anymore. Children have no respect for authority anymore. But they still got to be subject. Now watch. They got to be subject to it. If not, what would the next part of the verse say? This is why it's so important that we follow the word of God and that we make sure that we're not hindered by the world system of functioning, and we want to function along with the world. And see, you can't go along with those people. I remember at the job when I worked in secular, I worked in the mechanical field. And so what happened was every time we go into overtime, we fill out our overtime sheet. And so it was on our honor system. If I work 2 hours overtime, I'm going to put 2 hours because that's the rule. And so these guys, I'm a Christian now, and these guys functioning in the world system. And you know, the world system sometimes wanna motivate you or suppress you or make you do what they want you to do. And sometimes you gotta stand your ground for righteousness. Amen. You know, sometimes it's not easy to stand your ground for righteousness. But you gotta do what is right, not just when it's opportune time. You gotta do what is right all the time. That's right. You can't do what is right when it's convenient. You got to do what is right when nobody's looking. Now that's another level. You see, that red light, I just stuck with it. Nobody wasn't looking. I could have just eased off down the road. See, ain't nobody coming. Who going to see me? Ain't a cop. And it was playing for dark. Everybody was in the bed. And I'm at this stupid light. It didn't make no sense, man. I said, this don't make no sense. And then for some reason, it was a long light. I said, this don't make no sense. Why I got to obey it? Because it's the law of the land. Now, what I was going to say before that. You see, y'all don't know what I was going to say. But watch what's going to happen when you don't obey authority. Why? The Bible said it. Not Paul. Paul might be the writer, but this breathed by the Spirit of God. Look what it says. Whosoever, in the second verse, therefore resisted the authority. Now, he's talking about civil authorities here. Resisted the ordinance of God. He said that civil authorities are ordinance of God. And they that resist shall do what? Receive to themselves damnation. He said, God not damning anybody. People damning themselves. They receive to themselves damnation. Anytime you resist to the power, you know the people in the prison? They condemn themselves. There's laws to be followed. There's rules to be followed, that governor. And they're not going to change the rule just for you. If you break the rule, you break the law, you have to be subject unto it. And then there's consequence behind every action. So we got to think before we make action, because there are consequences that are going to follow. Sometimes doing what God did not say to do have consequences. I can show you all through the Bible. Saul did what God didn't tell him to do, and there were consequences of his action. God took the kingship from him. Was it God's fault? No. He didn't obey God. God rules. I heard the apostle talk about a rule tonight. The guy didn't have a tie on. He said, you're going to follow my rules. Well, if that guy don't have a tie on next time, he resisted the ordinance. And guess what? You give a child a rule. Anybody got children? You gave them rule. This is your rule here. This is your guidance. This is your perimeter where you can and can't go. What time to leave and what time to come back home. Be home for 12 o'clock. And rules, you can write this down, always reveal rebellion. You want to find a child rebellious? You know, you say, my child not rebellious, give them some rules. Tell them what they can and can't do. And if they don't do it, you're going to see if they're rebellious or not. You can't spell it no other way. You can't make it sound good. They're rebellious if they don't listen. So how you cure rebellious? You teach them. How you teach them? Sometimes you take a strap and a whip. Spare not the, I don't believe in sparing the rod. When my kids were young, I didn't spare. So I don't whip my children. Okay. They're going to make you like the mofos. They're going to make you cry later on. You'll be trying to go visit them in a little cell when you're on one side and they're on the other side. How you doing, baby? No, you could have been doing better if you would listen to me when I was trying to tell you something. No, no, no. What I'm telling the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help me God. So rule reveal what? Rebellion. So if you want to find out if someone is rebellious or not, find out how many rules they're breaking. Look on your job and find out how many rules these people break. Look in your household and find out how many rules your children break. Pay attention to it. And then come back and tell me if they're rebellious. See, we don't like that word attention, but it's anti-resisting what you said. And God has the same rule. You see, we think we get away with God, but we don't get away with God by not obeying him. That's rules and there's consequences. Everything. The curse call, as Proverbs say, shall what? Shall not come. If you don't do what the scripture says or don't do according to what God says, the consequence is going to come because you don't do it. You can't get away from that. God is the God of order. And if you try to look at God any other way, yeah, he's a loving God. Yeah, he's a kind God. Yeah, he's a forgiving God, but he does have order. And God don't ask you to do something. God demands you to do something. And I heard the apostle say something that caught my attention tonight. In one another definition of authority, it's commanding obedience. I thought that was probably strong when I was studying and reading it, and but now I understand it more through the apostolic. You get to a place where you submit enough where somebody can command you, and you don't feel like you're in a dictatorship. People are afraid of real authority because it looks like dictatorship. No, but you got a spirit. You'll know when somebody hearing from God and saying, you got to have ears to hear. You got to have an eye to see. You got to have a heart to understand, you see? Or you're going to get all messed up. You're going to get mixed up. And you're going to let people mix you up. Or you ain't got to do all that. And they'll get you out of the blessing of God. Now, there's a scripture, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's a scripture that says, if you be willing, and what? Obedient. There's two words there that connect together. If you be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. You can be obedient, but not willing. You see, that's what I'm talking about, that anti-submission. Why? Because God wants willing obedience. David gave willingly to the Lord. Remember when he was bringing all that to the Lord, the sacrifice, a thousand sacrifices, and when they were building the temple, they gave and gave. See, people gave willingly, willingly. But then you got some people give grudgingly. Paul talks about it, giving grudgingly. God don't accept those sacrifices. You see? Willing, grudgingly, willing and obedience. Willing and obedience go hand in hand. And that's perfect submission. When you get the willing obedience, that's where your heart, that's where God wants your heart. Willing, oh, Jesus, willing obedience equals perfect submission. I think about Jesus at the cross. Lord, if it be thy will, Lord, if it's not thy will, if you got another way for me to bring salvation to these people, let it be so. You remember we were talking about in the 26th chapter of Matthew, but take the cup from me. But nevertheless, he said, not my will. Most people live right there. Right where? In their will. The pastor or apostle could want them to do something, call for volunteers in the church, but they got their will at the front of the agenda. My will, this is what I got to do Saturday, and I can't come in doggone church on Saturday because I got my will already established. I got my agendas already established. You see, and so now, they're functioning from their will. You see, Paul said he died. How often Paul said he died? Paul said I die daily. So obedience caused you to die. Die to what? To your self will. We're gonna find out in a few minutes. I'm just preluding my class. We're gonna find in a few minutes that the cause of Satan's rebellion. And his kick out of heaven and his losing his position in heaven were because of self-will. I can show you in Isaiah. We're going to look at that in a few moments. He kept using the word, I will, and I will, and I will. Count the time he used the word, I will, that's self-will. You see? Don't put too many I's in your vocabulary. You see? The most folks, if I never learn nothing else, they always end the conversation, if God's willing. And I never forget that. It confused me for a little while because I didn't really understand God will, you know, because I had to argue against it. You know, because I didn't understand things you argue against, things you understand. So what do you mean God's willing? What do you mean God's willing? But I understand, if this is the will of the Lord, we're going to do this. You know, but I find out in their ignorance, some of their God willing was they didn't know the will of God. So they said things that wasn't scripture. I had to learn that too. Yeah. Is God willing? Is God will always God will for me to be healed? You see it? Always. Well, if it be thy will, Lord, heal them. No, God will always want you to heal. God always wants you to be blessed. Something God always willing for you to have. Now, whosoever resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Now, here's that third verse. For rulers are not a terror to what? Good works. But to the evil. Now, you know, they got this thing on TV now where everybody was against the policeman. The policeman was, and I know they have some crooked policemen. I know they have crooked lawyers. I know they have crooked everybody. But let's use the policeman as an example tonight. But a person that do right, you don't fear the police when you're doing 70 in the 70 mile per hour zone. Don't you? Hi there, officer. You wave at him. But when you're doing wrong, fear come upon you. Yeah, we've been fearful doing 85 in the 70, and you see a cop. Don't you get a little freeze and a little quick heartbeat? Because you know you're wrong, and you don't want to get caught. Can I tell you a little story? I will tell you anyway. this man was in the car. And a stop sign right on the corner. And so he drives to the corner, but don't stop. What the sign says? Stop. He kept rolling and made a little right turn. Then the cop was behind him. And the cop pulled him on the side. And the man said, what you stopping me for? He said, I stopped because you ran that stop sign. He didn't stop. He said, well, I slowed down. The officer started beating him, started hitting with his billy. He said, what you want me to do, stop or slow down? Now, so that point is, rules have to be understood and followed, right? So stop means stop. So when you get to that stop sign, we don't want a rolling stop. You know what rolling stop is? I'm looking, nothing coming, I don't stop, but I just keep going. That's breaking the law. You see, from this day forward, you're going to think about it. Because the Holy Ghost gonna help you think about it. Because you're supposed to do everything what's right. Now, if you don't, that's between your conscience and God. Between your conscience and God. You have to live with that. If you get to a point where it don't bother you anymore, the Bible says because your conscience gets seared. In other words, you've done it so much that you don't even feel it no more. You become used to breaking the law. You become used to sinning. People get used to sinning. They used to get so used to sinning that they don't convict them anymore. They could do things with no conviction. I don't want to live like that. I'm living dead. Doing things with no conviction. Now, for rulers are not a terror to good works. You see it? I mean, if you're doing what's right, they're not going to stop you. Now, as I said, there's crooked people and everything. But they're only a threat or terror to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the authority? And look what the scripture is saying, just what I've been trying to say these last 5 minutes. Do that which is good. Do that which is right. And thou shalt have praise of the same. Now, look at that fourth verse now. For he is the what? Minister. He called the civil authorities a minister of God. You know, nobody probably ever saw it in that light as policemen are ministers of God. Why? Because they're carrying out the laws of the land, and they're governing the law that governs society. And these laws are designed to help you live, not to kill you. They're designed to help you live. Remember a while back, 55, stay alive? That was to help cut down on some of the traffic accidents that was happening. People were dying in car accidents frequently. And so they say, we slow them down a little bit. Some of them might live a little bit longer. It was to help us, keep us alive. So authorities are not to do evil, but authority want to do good. God always seemed like people look at God that thought he was evil because God brought so much destruction on a lot of people. I read the whole Testament, and it seemed like he was doing evil, but God was trying to get them to do good. They brought evil upon themselves. Everything in that Old Testament that happened, we're going to get to some of that in Numbers, where the ground cave open and people fall into it because they didn't want to hear Moses. They brought that upon themselves. God didn't kill those people. Their disobedience, their rebellion. You see, God can't back up rebellion. Because when you function in rebellion, we're about to go to the next scripture, you're functioning on the principle of Satan. And Satan was rebellious from the beginning, and we're going to find out his origin in a little bit, all right? So we don't want to function in his principle. Because you're going to destroy yourself in that principle. All right, let's go to our next scripture now. I'm trying to find my outline here. Okay, next scripture we're going to look at. Give me 1 second here. It's over in, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 1 and 3 here. We're working our way up to this introduction to give you an idea of just why we going here. Why are we on this lesson of authority? Why is this lesson so important for me to function as a Christian? Why? Because everything about God is authority and obedience. Now, we're talking about this authority, which is God. Remember I said God is all authority? Here's that third verse. Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the brightness of his glory, talking about Jesus, and the express image of his person, Jesus, the express image of God. If you want to see what God look like, you want to see what God thinks, how God feel, how God talks, look at Jesus. He's the perfect image of God. All right? And upholding all things by the word of his power, you see it? Upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, I got stuck here when I was studying a few years ago. You say upholding all things, but why didn't say upholding all things by the power of his word? Don't it seem like this scripture is saying a little bit backwards? Upholding all things by the word of his power instead of upholding all things by the power of his word. That's the reason why the scripture stated like that. See, Jesus uphold all things. Talking about Jesus. Talking about the elements. The sky, the sun, the moon. All these elements, all these things in the universe are upheld by the word of his power, of his authority. That's what it really saying. His authority. God's authority is upholding everything in his place. God said, let it be light. That's why there's still light. God said, let all the elements be created, and the sun got to be a certain distance from the earth, and the moon, and the stars, all of them in its proper sphere and everything, and they all remain to this day because God spoke it, and his word is holding all these things. Now, I'm explaining this. His word stands for his authority. You see? And his power stands for his act. I'm going to explain that a little bit better. You remember over in Psalm 103? He said he showed his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Anybody read that scripture? Turn to it. Psalm 103, I think it's verse 7, I think. Psalm 103, verse 7. We're going to come back to Hebrews. Hold your finger in Hebrews. Psalm 103, I think it's verse 7. I might be off a little bit, but it's in there, and we're going to find it. Psalm 103. Anybody got it yet? Is that 7 verse right? I ain't got it yet. If somebody got to read it for me, if that's what it says. Okay, that's exactly what it said. He showed his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Now watch how this goes here. His ways is his word. His acts are the results of his word. Now let me back up a little bit with that. His ways is his word. He showed Moses how he functioned. He showed Moses his M.O. And so, but he showed his the result of his word to the children of Israel. In other words, God's word said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Though his word, what caused the light to come, and as a result of the light, was the manifestation, the light was the manifestation of his word. Or the light was a result of God's word. He speak it, and then that's manifestation. He speak it, his ways, and then the manifestation is his acts. I'm making sense here. You see it? You got to see it for a reason here, because if you don't understand that, you're going to miss God's authority. See, God functions through word. God is the word God. Everything he functions is through his word. That's why the scripture says in John 1:1, in the beginning was what? The word. That's who God is, and that's what his authority is. The authority is his word. That's why God he's so concerned about us obeying his word. You see it? You got to obey God's word because that's who he is. And the word was with him, and the word was who? God. And when you obey God's word, you're obeying God. When you disobey God's word, you're disobeying God. When you're disobeying God's word, you're really in rebellion. People don't like that word. They say it can't be easy that easy to get in rebellion. Yeah, whenever you disobey, you rebel against word. You're rebelling, saying, this is not what I want to do. And so it's rebellion. So you're going to get used to that word in this class. Because this word is going to be rehearsed. You know why? Because we don't want you to be rebellious. We want you to get and receive all that God wants you to do. And mainly because we want to get God's will done upon the earth. That's the main reason for obedience. To complete, finish, and furnish God's will upon the earth. That Jesus can come back for his soon return. God's waiting until his will is accomplished. He called you to help get his will done in the earth. But every time he asks you to do something, if you rebel or say, no, Lord, I can't do that, then you're hindering the will of God in some form, no matter how big or how small it seems, you're hindering God's will upon the earth. God said, go talk to that woman over there. Oh, not Lord. Lord, I'm kind of shy. I don't like to talk to people. You just hinder God's will upon the earth. But obedience, he said, Lord, I do whatever you want me to do. I'll talk to anybody you want me to talk to. You might struggle for a little while. What you fighting? Your self-will. You're fighting your shame. You're fighting your because you're not a people person. You're fighting your personality. You're fighting, you're just fighting. Sometimes you're fighting your culture background. But you're fighting against the will. You're fighting against the will to obey. And sometimes we do it, but it's not willing. And we're going to break that camel's back because we're going to get to the place where we're going to obey everything God says, whether it's God says it through a man. I can put a pig right there and go home. God will 99% of the time going to come through a man. Going to come through an apostle and say, get 5 of those cards. Y'all have apostles talk about the cards? that we're the witness. Get five called, and because you help carrying out the will of God, and you're doing the will of God in the work of God in the ministry, and so those calls are acts of obedience. You know, most people pass right by the table and don't even look at the calls. Oh, shoot, I ain't paying no attention to that. But yet, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And worship you. And dancing and singing. And then when God's got a will for you to do, I ain't got time for that. We're going to break that camel's back. We that know going to do better. Yeah. He that receive a prophet in the name of the prophet going to receive a prophet. See, we don't understand the prophet reward. Apostle, where he's at, because you know why? That man obeyed everything God tells him to do. I've been with him a long time, and that man going to obey God. He going to obey God. And that was so good about it. He will obey God. Amen. Whether you like it or not. And that's what I love about him. Now, you'll be back to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 says, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay? Now, let's go to this scripture in Isaiah, because we're looking at the beginning of rebellion. You see? We're looking at the infancy of rebellion. See, it's good to know where something started at. And when you know, you let me know when my time is getting close here. Okay. The origin of Satan's fall was the origin of rebellion in Israel. Okay? Now, I got three questions I need to ask. Let me ask these three questions before I forget, because it got something to do with our online student. I don't want to go too far without asking these questions. Let's see. Here it is right here. Okay. That's not it. Okay. Here it is. God's throne is established on his. You see, I got online, quizzes, three questions here. But God's throne is established on his authority. And to make that statement, here's another statement. We're about to look at it more in depth. Rebellion was the cause of Satan's fall. You know, you did fall from heaven, right? You know, you end up in the Garden of Eden, right? You know, you tempted Eve, right? You know, you try to make Eve rebel against God, right? Okay? But rebellion was the cause of that fall. Okay? Now, what time? I got 2 minutes. Okay, so I'm done? Okay, class. So look, and here's the last question here. Rebellion was the cause of Satan's fall, and in serving God, we must not violate authority, because to do so is a principle of Satan. Remember that. All right? Yeah, that's it. Those three questions. You got them? I need to say them again. My class is up here. You're on your own time now. Okay, first question is,